Right now, I'm very happy to welcome to our program Stephanie Soucy. She's Associate Attorney with Earth Justice, who's litigated on behalf of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe in opposition to the Dakota Access Pipeline and the plan to locate the pipeline under the Missouri River. Stephanie, thank you so much for making the time to come on our program tonight. Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for making time to be on our show tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Stephanie, maybe first of all, just tell our listeners a little bit about the work you do with Earth Justice.
Sure. I'm an associate attorney in our Northwest Regional Office in Seattle with Earth Justice. We have offices all across the country, but I'm based in Seattle.
Okay, and the kind of work that you do there at Earth Justice, the kinds of cases you take on?
Sure. We are an environmental law nonprofit. We work on cases spanning all of the environmental law statutes, including the National Environmental Policy Act, Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, Endangered Species Act. Those are our major ones, but we certainly take a wide variety of cases.
Thanks for that. And if you could, give us a status report on the campaign in opposition to the Dakota Access Pipeline. I think many of our listeners are aware that the Army Corps of Engineers refused to issue an easement to allow the pipeline to be constructed under the Missouri River. I think they've also ordered a new environmental impact statement to also explore alternate routes. But there's certainly a lot more detail there that you might be able to get into to let our listeners know not only the current status, but how we got there, both in terms of the protests that we know a lot about, in terms of the thousands of people that have sort of congregated in protest camps there near the pipeline site, but also the work you've been doing in court.
Absolutely. So in July, we filed a complaint alleging violations of the National Environmental Policy Act and the Clean Water Act and some other environmental statutes and the National Historic Preservation Act that the Army Corps hadn't properly consulted with the tribe. And since then, we've had a few rounds of litigation. We had the preliminary injunction hearing in August, the temporary restraining order hearing in September, and what our case did was highlight a lot of the issues that existed. So the tribe wasn't properly consulted, the environmental review was very limited in scope and didn't accurately consider the risk of oil spills. The tribe was not given due consideration, especially with its proximity to the crossing under Lake Oahe. And so our lawsuit brought a lot of those legal issues to light. In terms of the protests and the camp, I think what happened there is we were able to garner some media attention, and it demonstrated how strongly people felt this issue was. When you have thousands of people out vehemently opposing the process, basically the tribe was steamrolled and forced to accept the risks of a multi-billion dollar pipeline right at its doorstep, going under its main source of drinking water. And so with that progress, with the legal issues highlighted and the passions of the people highlighted, I think what happened is the Army Corps decided to take a step back. And so this, the announcement from last week was great for us, and it highlights that the Army Corps didn't really consider the concerns of the tribe. And so this EIS process, this new environmental impact statement, the Corps decided that was the best way to look at some of the issues it hadn't considered before, and also possibly looking at alternate routes. And so it's been a crazy few months, but we still have a process to go through with the EIS. We are still in active litigation. We had a status conference in D.C. last week to sort of set out the schedule for some of our briefing and some of the steps of litigation that we still have left.
Thanks for that, Stephanie. What are some of the issues that our listeners may not be aware of in terms of the tribe's complaints about the siting of this pipeline under the waters of the Missouri River?
Well, the environmental assessment that the Corps initially signed off on didn't contain what we felt was an adequate analysis of the risk of an oil spill. And it also kind of brushed off the tribe's concerns that Lake Oahe is its main source of drinking water. And so, you know, the siting of that pipeline in that area without addressing tribal concerns was definitely a big issue for us. And the, you know, the earlier stages of our litigation focused on the National Historic Preservation Act claims, that the tribe wasn't properly consulted, that there were historic sites that were there. Unfortunately, you know, some of them are gone now, destroyed by pipeline activity. And I think that those are maybe our two biggest areas in terms of what listeners might not be aware of. We definitely have a FAQ page on our website at earthjustice.org. And there you can read all of our documents, all of our filings, and keep up with all of our court dates and look at the timeline and look at the progress that we've made in the course of this litigation.
Yeah, we'll be sure to mention the website before we say goodnight. Stephanie, there's been accusations from the company that's building the pipeline, Energy Transfer Partners, that this decision by the Army Corps of Engineers was somehow political. What's your response to the idea that somehow this decision by the Army Corps of Engineers was really maybe a byproduct of pressure, not only from the protesters themselves, but from the Obama administration on high?
Well, I mean, the political influence, you know, there was certainly a campaign that I'm aware of. We didn't, this wasn't something that we spearheaded, but there was a campaign to write to congressmen, representatives, people involved in that office. And I don't know, I guess, sorry, I'm struggling with his answer because I started off one, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to characterize it. Is you know, the Army Corps is a political appointee. You know, that's actually a Senate confirmation, so that is something that does have a political backing. So, in terms of the allegations that there was some political pressure, that's quite certainly possible. But it does speak to the fact that the will of the people involved, coupled with facts highlighted in our litigation, prevailed. So I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Okay. And what are the options for the company now in terms of any right of appeal they may have for this Army Corps of Engineers decision and the likely course of action for the Trump administration when they come in, where they've publicly expressed their support for building the pipeline at the original site under the Missouri River, right near where the Standing Rock Sioux tribe is?
Mm-hmm. Well, Dakota Access has filed a motion in the district court in D.C., and they are alleging that they already received the easement back in July. You know, and that's something that we're going to litigate, and the court has set a timeline for hearing that claim. So that's the course of action that they're taking now that we are aware of. Whether this can change, this decision can change with the change in administration, you know, the Army Corps met with, you know, certain officials and certain individuals, and in their statement, they said that they needed to consider alternatives, and the best way to do that was through an EIS. And part of that in moving forward, and the best way to do that with an EIS, is they've made a decision, and it's really hard for them to overturn that without building a new record and without coming up with a reasoned explanation for doing so. So if they were to reverse with the change in administration, we would challenge that in court. You know, so I guess there's two different questions of whether or not they can and whether or not they will. And they certainly can. We'll litigate it. Whether or not they will, we're not sure.
And what ability do you have to hold up any kind of reversal and decision? I mean, certainly litigation as a tactic can, you know, be very fruitful, as it has certainly in the early stages here with this recent decision by the Army Corps of Engineers. But what? How quickly could this thing fall apart? I mean, you know, in terms of the favorable opinion that the tribe received here from the Army Corps, can this disappear pretty quick?
Well, the Joe Ellen Darcy, you know, who's the agency head of the Army Corps, is a political appointee. So, you know, and that is somebody who needs to be confirmed by the Senate, and so that's a process. And so, you know, anybody who would be appointed from the new administration would have to go through a process. So I don't know if anything's going to change on January 21st. I don't know if it can be that quick. That being said, you know, we will certainly continue to advocate on behalf of the tribe in case that does happen. But with the change in administration, there are some processes that the Army Corps has to go through before the whole thing can be completely turned around.
We're speaking in Counterpoint tonight with Stephanie Soucy, Associate Attorney with Earth Justice, who's litigated on behalf of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe in opposition to the Dakota Access Pipeline. And, Stephanie, I was wondering, what can you tell us about what's been described as brutal tactics that have been executed by the local and state police, the sheriff's department there, the water hoses and freezing temperatures aimed at protesters? There's been some major serious injuries among protesters in these confrontations. This really seems out of the norm for a lot of the protests we've seen, you know, against pipelines over these past over these recent years. What, if anything, is your group, Earth Justice, doing on behalf of the protesters who have had these very ugly confrontations with police and sheriff's office?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we are certainly just as appalled of the treatment of the water protectors as everybody should be. You know, the water cannons, and back in September there were, you know, private security dogs and dog maulings, and I mean, all of this treatment is just horrendous. In terms of what we're doing, I mean, we are an environmental law nonprofit, so we don't have any expertise in this area. However, we have contacts who are on the ground. I believe that there is a collective of attorneys in North Dakota who have regular contact with people in the camp who are defending water protectors in court, and I believe that's also the same collective of attorneys who have sued the Morton County sheriff. And so us as a group, I think we're just trying to elevate those stories and amplify that our client has called for peaceful prayer for protests, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of the protectors are subject to horrendous treatment. But legally, I think we're focused on our case in D.C. That's where our resources are. But we are trying to connect people with the attorneys on the ground who are better equipped to handle that sort of litigation and answer those legal questions.
Understood. Stephanie, your case is centered around the tribe's real concern about the water that they use for their drinking water, and the quality of the water, the potential for oil leaks into that water. There's certainly other concerns about this pipeline and its contribution to global warming that many of the protesters who've been drawn to this struggle are quite concerned about. Does the issue of global warming, climate change, enter into any of the litigation that you're working on?
We have not had a chance to brief that issue yet. As I mentioned, in the last few months, a lot of our focus in the litigation has been on the National Historic Preservation Act claims. That's where we filed for injunctive relief and unfortunately lost that claim. But we lost the injunction, not the claim. We still have that live. So now is sort of our chance to... And by now, I mean through the EI, the environmental impact statement, that is our chance to amplify concerns about climate change. The environmental impact statement, that whole process involves public input, rounds of public input in terms of scope. So what the Army Corps has to look at and when it's considering the project. And in the Army Corps then has to compile a draft environmental impact statement, and that is also subject to another round of public input. And so, you know, in terms of our litigation, it really hasn't made that much of an appearance. That's not to say it's not important, but we do have an opportunity through this environmental impact statement process to amplify that for the future. So, you know, the public can get involved and let their concerns known, or their concerns about climate change be known.
I'm wondering, how important is public opinion when it comes to the litigation that you're working on behalf of the tribal elders there, when it comes to the Dakota Access Pipeline? Does the court or, you know, any of the litigants there have anything to say, or is there any consideration of public opinion? And to be sure, I don't know what public opinion is in, you know, among the population of North Dakota. Or we're talking about national public opinion. But what can you tell us about that? Is it strictly just a legal case and the public's views are really not considered at all?
Well, the judge is supposed to make his determination based on legal arguments, legal merit, and the record that's been filed by the court. So that's, you know, we are supposed to have an independent judiciary. That being said, we do want to make sure the tribe's story is told and that people understand not just what our case is about, but what's at risk for the tribe. So but that's mostly just education. That's mostly how we're involved with public opinion. But the case itself should be resolved on legal arguments, legal merit, and facts in the record.
Understood. Well, I did want to ask you about another sort of area that doesn't directly enter into what's happening in the courtroom, but certainly it has some effect, and that is supporters of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe have been engaged in boycotts and protests of banks that have invested in the Dakota Access Pipeline, with some effect. Apparently, there's a lot of money that's being withdrawn or considered to be withdrawn from the Dakota Access Pipeline project. How does that affect your proceedings in the courtroom, if at all?
In terms of the courtroom and the litigation, that's not really a factor for us. However, you know, it does speak volumes that people are passionate about this project, and it speaks volumes in ways that perhaps we can't amplify, which is, you know, in terms of money does have some swaying power. So those divestment efforts have their own impact on the project, but not necessarily in the courtroom.
And Stephanie, before we say goodnight, I did want to pursue one area here, and that is I've heard some stories where optional sites for this pipeline going under the Missouri River or an entirely different route were really skipped over because the tribal lands or the lands adjacent to where the tribe is were viewed upon as maybe an easier way to go in terms of private property and easements and cooperation that the pipeline company was expecting or hoping for. How accurate is that analysis in terms of the original siting near tribal lands was somehow purposefully selected because they thought it would be an easier route legally to succeed at getting the necessary easements and such?
Well, in their final environmental assessment, Dakota Access did look at alternatives, and that's something that has to be done during the NEPA process anyway. You are supposed to look at alternatives. But they chose a preferred alternative that went barely half a mile upstream of the tribe, of the tribe's reservation. In terms of the reasoning as to why they did that, and the alternative that they rejected was a crossing north of Bismarck, 10 miles north of Bismarck. And when they were looking at their environmental assessment, they disregarded the north of Bismarck crossing and put the pipeline at the tribe's doorstep. I don't know, there is some, rationale that they give in the environmental assessment, but in terms of how, truthful or what the analysis, how reasoned the analysis is, that's something that we're looking for, that we're still searching for. I don't know if the reasoning that they gave is actually good enough. I don't know of what other organizations or experts or whoever is involved in the public discussion outside of the courtroom, what their analysis is of that, but it definitely does seem striking that the route would be changed from 10 miles north of Bismarck, and one of the reasons cited is that there was a concern of risks to drinking water for Bismarck to a new location that is only half a mile north of the tribe and poses the same risks to tribal drinking water. So I don't I don't know, but I can't say with certainty, but it certainly doesn't strike me as a coincidence.
Well, Stephanie, just one last question. People who are aware of the struggle there at the Dakota Access Pipeline and among the Sioux, the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and their allies, What's the wider significance of this fight over the Dakota Access Pipeline in your view? Why should Americans be paying attention to this issue in this case?
Well, I think something that is striking is that this pipeline is, you know, approximately 1,200 miles long, crosses through four states, and received very little federal oversight. There is no big pipeline permit in this case, but they were able to go through and build before they got all of the federal permits that they needed, and also without a lot of federal oversight, federal approval. You know, it's crossing hundreds of water bodies throughout the four states. It has impacts on fish and wildlife. Obviously, there is a concern that any of the analysis didn't really look at oil spill risks. And I think that's concerning. That should be concerning that, in the future, or even now, another similarly situated pipeline could happen that's just as long and that gets sort of pushed through without really any checks and balances or oversight from the Army Corps or, you know, any other federal agency that has an interest in protecting lands and people. So I think that's probably the most striking fact or the most striking way I've viewed this since we started is that this is huge, and nobody really looked at it. It just sort of was able to go through the process, and ultimately if it were to go all the way through unnoticed, it was going to not only be a huge project, but it was going to pose big risks to the tribe, and risks that they're unwilling to accept.
Well, Stephanie, we'll have to leave it there, but thank you for spending time with us tonight and explaining, you know, the legal issues here, the litigation you've been pursuing, and certainly congratulations are in order for the success you've had thus far. And I know this is not over yet by any stretch, but certainly thanks for all that you're doing there on behalf of the tribe and Earth Justice. And please do leave our listeners with a website where they can check out some of the statements that you have there explaining the litigation, explaining the cause that's being fought there at Standing Rock, and the FAQ, the Frequently Asked Questions, where people can get a lot more detail.
Absolutely. So you can visit our website at earthjustice.org. We do have a few pages on our website that address Standing Rock. We have an overall FAQ page that has a timeline. We also have a general litigation page that gives you sort of an overview of how our litigation has progressed. We also have all of our filings on that page. So if you are interested in reading our complaint or any of our motions, those are also there. So if you go to earthjustice.org, you're more than welcome to visit and stay updated on our case.
Great. Well, thanks again, Stephanie, and we'll stay in touch. Best of luck with the future chapters in this unfolding story. Thank you so much.
Great. Well, thank you very much for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Stephanie Soucy, Associate Attorney with Earth Justice, who's been litigating on behalf of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe in opposition to the Dakota Access Pipeline.